Thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hey everybody, so happy and brave. How we doing? My little sister. Give me sister, what's the info?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, pretty well.
Got anything new going on?
Work, sleep, and eat. And just working on getting more of these wonderful episodes out for you.
Yes. Did you hear about the interesting or strange occurrence with Gene Hackman and his wife passing?
Yes. It's kind of tragic. You know, I think she died and he went to go, from what it looks like, he may have, she died and he probably was going to go get help when he forgot what he was doing. And
yeah, well, they said from the records, it looks like she died first.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he had been suffering from Alzheimer's. So I think it's kind of like what you said, you know, she passed and he was unaware. The poor dog was sick in a crate and he didn't, I guess in his confusion, he didn't realize. So it was tragic all the way around. But my heart goes out to their family. We've had a lot of people passing this early in the year. My heart goes out to all of them. And what else is new in the paranormal world or
well, we're still waiting on Trump to actually release the UFO files.
Yes, we'll see if that happens.
That's one of the things that he established when basically he said, hey, I'm going to do the Kennedys. I'm going to do Martin Luther King. I'm going to reveal the other file. And I'm going to go ahead and wide open the UFO file, which my own personal opinion, not everybody else's, but I think that is severely linked to John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy's deaths.
Really? The UFO files?
Yep. That is my personal opinion.
Interesting. I would have never put the two together, but
like I said, just my opinion.
Yeah.
I would maybe in the future I can go ahead and do a perspective of what maybe might happen, because a couple of writers have actually hinted at the fact of maybe that's why Kennedy was killed.
Interesting. I would have never put the two together. So that's very, very interesting.
Yes.
So what is it that we
just,
are talking
just say that, just, I'm sorry to interrupt,
no,
but just
ahead.
To say that it may not be the CIA that killed the Kennedys. It may have been the ETs.
Maybe it was the Men in Black.
Yeah. Maybe the reptiles.
He knew something that they didn't want to get out. He discovered their secret lair or discovered that one of them was a lizard. And so they didn't get them in. I guess they would have killed Marilyn too because they were afraid she was going to squeal.
Oh yeah. You know, Marilyn's like, one of her last comments to the press was, I'm going to hold a press conference. I got everything that Kennedys know. So the little E.T. from Alpha Centauri, passive North Star Pleiades, decided to come down and make sure that not only Marilyn was shut up, but Bobby
and Jack
Bobby
were too.
Were both shut up.
Bobby and yeah. Jack were too. But regardless, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, actually, I would like to talk about an interesting library. that may be neither time nor space nor interdimensional. It may be on the plate of these stars. It may be beyond the veil. But today I like to discuss the Akasha Files or the Akasha Library.
Now, this is something that I've never really understood what it is. I know it goes into like past lives and reincarnation, but then I've also heard it connected with aliens. And so this is something I'm really interested in learning more about through this episode. So, yeah, let's dive into it.
Okay. Now, the term Akasha is derived from Sanskrit, meaning sky, space, or ether. In various spiritual traditions, Akasha refers to the fundamental etheric field believed to be It refers to the fundamental etheric field believed to permeate the universe. This concept has been integrated into modern spiritual practices, particularly concerning which we would know as the Akasha records. Now, that is thought to be an energetic archive that contains the vibrational record of each individual soul upon its journey. Now, this metaphysical compendium, not to be confused with condominium, but compendium, is believed to encompass all thoughts, emotions, and experiences throughout time, serving as a repository of universal conclusions. Now, accessing these records is said to provide insights into one's own soul's purpose, life lessons, and spiritual growth in the grand scheme of things. Now, the concept of these records gained prominence in the late 19th and early part of the 20th century through teachings of the Theosophical Society and figures like Helen Blavatsky and Rudolf Steiner, which I would love to in the future do an episode on both of them. They have described these records as a cosmic database that could be accessed through heightened stasis of consciousness or spiritual practice. While the existence of these records is a matter of personal belief and not empirically proven, many individuals find value in the concept as a tool for self-discovery and spiritual development. Practices such as meditation, prayer, and intuitive guidance are commonly employed to connect with ethereal reverse. Practice with such meditation, prayer, and intuitive guidance are commonly employed to connect with this ethereal repository of knowledge. In summary, Akasha signifies a subtle spiritual essence pervading all space, and the Akashic records are believed to be a metaphysical archive of every soul's experience, accessible through spiritual practical for guidance and insight into your own well-being. Or so that those that believe in it believe.
I once went to I don't want to say like convention, but it was some kind of festival of, you know, all these different, I guess you could say enlightened or whatever. They had Reiki, they had Scientology, they had people practicing all kinds of things that were, you know, of the enlightened and spiritual practice. And there was a guy there doing Akasha readings, and I went and had one, and it was different. Supposedly, I come from a race of blue-skinned aliens. I can't remember what he said they were called or what planet they were from, but I was supposed to be a descendant of these blue-skinned aliens sent here to Earth to experience an Earth life and go through the trials and tribulations of an Earthling. So yeah, it was interesting, to say the least. I don't know how much of it I believe or how much I was like, okay, this guy's, you know, but he, as you said, it's something you got to believe in yourself. Now, the Akashic Records often refer to as the metaphysical library, and they are not located in a physical place, but they are believed to exist on a higher level. This is like a non-physical plane of consciousness. And this concept suggests that the records are an energetic archive encompassing all universal events, thoughts, words, emotions, intentions that ever have occurred or will occur. Interesting enough, I remember an episode of Charmed where they had the Akashic Records they were on a stone, kind of like the Rosetta Stone, and they were in this library, or no, not a library, a museum. And the character, played by Misha Collins, which we all know from Supernatural, his character and his father were trying to translate this record. And it's so interesting because, like this says, this is not like a plaque or something like Rosetta Stone where you can just get it and translate it the way they were doing. It's a higher form of consciousness, a higher belief. So that's just very interesting how reality plays out as opposed to TV, I guess you could say. However, it is thought possible that you can access these records through spiritual practices. Some believe that the records can be accessed after death or in a deep meditative state. Now, I'm wondering if it's supposed to be accessed after death, how you would know that, because wouldn't you have to be in a death state to access that? So how would you be able to come back and tell people?
Well, two ways. One, you know a psychic very well. Two, once you cross over, you might want to come back and go be like, ooh, I'm a ghost. Or three, you take the information that you have access and move it on to your next life.
It is located on Alcyone, which is the brightest star in the Pleiades constellation. Pleiades.
The Pleiades, yeah.
Additionally, the soul star chakra, which is located above the crown chakra, which is something if you watched our episode on Reiki with Sarah, as well as our Reiki episode and our chakra. I don't know if they mentioned it or not, but we have more chakras around us than just the seven, or is it seven or nine?
Nine, I think.
Sorry. Okay. And this is considered by some to be the gateway to that field where the records are actually stored. So again, it's not a stone template in a museum somewhere. This is like in the ethereal. It is important to note that the existence of the records is a matter of personal belief and not proven, as we mentioned before. It has seen little academic attention and even less rigorous scientific research.
Okay, the Akasha records often envisioned as an energetic library or database and believed to contain history of souls encompassing past lives, present
present experiences and future possibilities. While they don't have physical form, many spiritual traditions suggest that individuals can access this metaphysical repository through specific practices. Methods to access this. Don't you want to know how to do it?
Yes.
Meditation. Engaging into a deep focused meditation can help you attune your consciousness to a higher realm, potentially allowing you access to the Akasha records. This practice also involves grounding oneself, setting a clear intention, and then entering a receptive state to receive the insights of the universe. A pathway prayer process. Develop a spiritual teacher like Linda Moulton Howe says this method utilizes a specific prayer as a password or library card, if you really want to say use that, to enter the records. By reciting this prayer, individuals aim to elevate the consciousness to connect with the Akashic realm. Intuitive development, strengthening your intuitive abilities as well as the base, can enhance your capacity to access the records. Regular practices that heighten intuitions, such as mindfulness and the energy healing, may facilitate an even deeper reconnection of this energetic archives. Now, considering approaching this Akashic records can require respect and an open mind. Experiences can vary widely. Some individuals report receiving visual symbols, auditory messages, or intuitive knowledge. It is essential to trust your unique experiences and interpret this information in a way that aligns with your own personal spiritual beliefs. Now, in Theosophy and Anthroposophy, the Akashic Records are conceptualized as a metaphysical companion encompassing all universal events, thoughts, words, and emotions, and intentions across time, space, and pertaining to all entities and life forms. This idea posits that every occurrence is recorded in a non-physical plane of existence, known as the mental or astral plane. Now, some people are going back up there to, some people have claimed to see it as being a vast room of books, literature. Some people have said it's almost like a computer voice talking to them about their lives, or it, you know, my own personal experience, jokingly, is like a big vast library that keeps kicking me out whenever I try to open go into the door. So, neither here nor there. Now, the theosophical perspectives, Kim, if you please.
Helena Petrovna Blavatsky was the founder of the Theosophical Society. Sorry, words are hard. And she introduced the term Akasha. This was described a sort of life force and referred to indestructible tablets of astral light. So that's interesting because according to this, there are tablets, but these are not physical tablets that we can hold, but they're made up of light. And again, these record the past and the future of our thoughts and actions. So that's interesting. That means that every single thought we have is being recorded. I don't know about you, but there's some thoughts that I kind of don't want everybody knowing about out there.
The light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
See, that's what I've always liked about the mental mind is the fact that nobody can know my thoughts. But according to this, mm-hmm. every thought a human has ever had is recorded.
Yeah.
Now, she did not specifically use the term Akashic Records. This was actually further developed by theosophists like Alfred Percy Sennett and C.W. Leadbeater, or Leadbeater, Leadbeater, tomato, tomato.
Leadbeater.
They described these records as accessible to clairvoyance and containing the history of past civilizations and future events. So according to this, now we know how mom always read our mind growing up. She was reading the Akashic Records. Now we're going to look at it through an anthroposophical perspective. Rudolf Steiner was the founder of Anthroposophy. And he expanded on this concept by claiming access to the records through spiritual research. He used this alleged access to describe the histories of mythical continents like Atlantis and Lemuria. And this was to present an esoteric interpretation of the Christian Gospels. He refers to this finding as the fifth gospel. Both traditions suggest that individuals with developed spiritual faculties, such as clairvoyance, can access the Akashic records. This process is believed to involve elevating one's consciousness to perceive the subtle records. This, again, is often done through meditation or other spiritual practices. Now, there is some criticism and skepticism among this. As I, pointed out before, my own skepticism on this. But since it is not empirically proven, it does remain the topic of personal belief. Again, the skeptics do argue that there is no scientific evidence supporting the existence of such metaphysical repository. The skeptics, again, they always want their scientific evidence, which is interesting because they're so diehard to say about the Big Bang theory, which is still a theory, and yet they claim that that is how the world was created. I bet I'm getting off topic.
Yes.
The records are often described as an energetic archive that contain the history of every soul, again, including past lives and experiences and the future possibilities. It is akin to a comprehensive metaphysical database where all universal events, thoughts, words, emotions, and intentions are recorded. Again, accessing these records is believed to offer profound insight into one's soul journey. It also facilitates personal growth and spiritual development. Approaching the records with respect and an open mind is considered essential, as experiences can vary widely among individuals.
Now, because we've talked about the possibility of going to the place, let's go into asking the questions, in order to access it. Just because you just show up there at the front door of the library with your little library card, aka password, doesn't mean that you know what you're doing. So here's a guide to connect you with this energetic repository. One, you want to set your intentions. Unlike you and I, when we go into the library, we just want to sit there and absorb everything and look around. The Akashic Library, on the other hand, you have to clarify your purpose for accessing it. Whether it's for personal insight, healing, or understanding past experience, a clear intention helps you to focus your session.
So it's kind of like when you go to the library and you're going to specifically the reference section, like to write a report or something like that, where you're going with that clear intention of, okay, I need research on XYZ because I'm doing this report on ABC, correct?
Correct. I mean, you want also to prepare your question, which means basically you're going to pop open a specific book or a tablet or feeling, emotion, to specific formulation of that question on the topic you wish to explore. Writing them down and then in a notebook can provide clarity and direction during your session. Then you're going to enter a meditative state, whether it's contemplating your navel or thinking about that little dot on the ceiling and concentrating and seeing nothing but that little dot. You want to find a quiet space where you won't be disturbed. Engaging in this meditation or deep breathing exercises can calm your mind, centering your energy to create a receptive state for accessing the records. Now, your password and your library card, make sure you've got that by using a sacred prayer or invocation. You want to make sure that you've got that set up to where you can, you know, get in there and get into that highly coveted reference section to examine, you know, what's going on. And once you've done all this, you should be able to connect, receive, open your records, remaining open and attentive. You may receive information through thoughts, images, feelings, or even sensations. Trust your intuition as you explore the insights which are presented. After your session is over with, it's essential, as always, whenever you go into a haunted house, a paranormal incident, or even something as a meditative state, you want to close the records respectfully, expressing gratitude, asking for final protection, things that you have seen, things that you've interacted with, that they stay there, not be clinging on to you. You may use that as a closing prayer or statement to conclude the session.
For a practical demonstration and deeper understanding, you might find this information very informative. You want to approach this practice with an open heart and patience, as experiences can vary. Regular practice can deepen your connection to the records over time. And individuals have reported that gaining clarity about your soul's mission by understanding underlying themes and lessons from the past can guide you towards a more fulfilling and authentic life. Also, identifying deep-rooted issues offers insight into their origins and suggests pathways for healing. This also helps release old wounds and break free from repetitive patterns that hinder your personal growth. So some might call this, if you are familiar with, you know, working through trauma, they call this either shadow work or inner work. This partly goes through it. Also, revealing the interconnectedness of your experiences significantly boosts your self-awareness, and it does enable you to make conscious choices and embrace a more empowered version of yourself. It also highlights lessons that you do need to learn and strengths that you can harness, providing a sense of direction and help sets a clear, actionable goal for future reference. You can also gain a broader perspective of your life's journey. It helps you to trust your intuition and encourages you to make confident decisions, as well as pursue opportunities that resonate with your true self. Again, you want to approach these records with respect and an open mind. While the existence of the records is a matter of personal belief, again, and not empirically proven, there are many that find value in this tool for self-discovery and their spiritual development.
Now, you've actually got your library card, you got your notebook, sit down, and you've asked your questions. These are the things that people have offered their personal insight that profoundly, that understanding your life's purpose, getting clarity of your mission in this life, as well as what you need to learn and how you're supposed to learn it, guiding you towards a more fulfilling, authentic life. Identifying your unique gifts, discovering whether you have inherent talents, abilities, empowering you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you over there. And to harness them effectively into your own personal and professional endeavors. Analyzing relationship patterns. This could be understood as reasons behind attractions to certain types of relationships, friendships, which be able to enable you to foster healthier and more meaningful connections and avoid the bad juju relationships, you know. Now, you can also address health and financial issues, uncovering and underlying that cause of health or monetary challenges, providing an insight and potential solutions and preventive measures. You know, like my family has a history of cancer, example. The Akasha records may say, oh, well, by eating this type of fruit, this type of vegetable, walking, talking, meditative states may reveal on how to address that healthful preventive measurements. Explaining life events, like, for example, why did I stand up on the hickory stone in the middle of the Great White North and go, "Wee!" It does gain your perspective on why you did that, helping you to process the experience and extract valuable lessons, per se, from what you may perceive as being totally idiotic in the situation. It also does overcome stagnation, identifying factors contributing to feelings of being stuck or receiving guidance on actionable steps or to move forward. So for that guy telling you, oh, yeah, you are originally a blue alien from Alpha Centauri perspective on this, that sort of thing, does that overcome any type of stagnation or any type of thing? Please, you know, what else do you think this might help with?
Yeah. The more that I look at this, it to me, these are things that I've heard growing up in the family that we did and with the gifts that we had as just being normal ways of thought, but I never knew that it was part of this Akashic record. I thought it was just the whole past lives and aliens and all that. I thought all of that part was the Akashic records. I didn't realize that it's all your intuition and abilities and everything that people use these things for all go into that record. Things that I've wanted to do myself as wanting to develop my own intuition would be tapping into those records, which I find extremely interesting the more I look into this, such as aligning with the soul's purpose, receiving the directions on a more aligned closely with your soul's purpose, facilitating that personal growth and fulfillment, connecting with spirit guides, recognizing which guides, angels, masters, teachers, or loved ones are supporting you from that spirit realm, identifying and releasing outdated patterns and thoughts. So to me, this is becoming more and more fascinating. It does allow you to gain insight into past lives that may still be influencing your current experiences, to allow you to understand and resolve these issues, as well as explore your family's legacy to heal generational issues and foster a healthier lineage. Like you said, we do have a history of cancer. It could be genetic. We also have a history of money problems, which I've been trying to work through for a while. So to find out that these are all part of those records that I'm trying to tap into without my knowledge, it's just, it's really amazing how this tool can be used in the self-discovery and spiritual development.
Kind of what we were taught as children, being around mom.
Yeah, part of a way of life.
Part of our way of life, and we didn't realize it, which is why I wanted to bring this to the table.
And I'm glad you did, because this is so much more fascinating than what I thought. Because like I said, when I went to go get that reading, and it was that you come from this alien, from this planet, and you're here for the human experience, I was like, really? Seriously? That's what these records are? Connecting me to some alien life form I don't even believe in? Not knowing that my entire journey on this earth and fascination with the spirit realm and with the, you know, with the intuition on all of that, it's been facilitated. And maybe that's why I've never been able to connect with it, because I didn't put those two together, if that makes sense. Anyway, continue.
Now, several practitioners are recognized for their expertise in accessing and interpreting the Akashic records, offering guidance and insights to individuals seeking spiritual growth and self-discovery. Now, here are just a few notable experts. Dr. Manit Kumar, he's an expert in it, in the Akashic Records reading and soul astrology. Dr. Kumar provides sessions that include energy clearing and deep spiritual insights. Emily the Mystic, she's an intuitive mentor and spiritual teacher. Emily specializes in the Akashic Records readings and helping clients discover their psychic gifts and soul purposes. Catherine T. Kelly, she's a PhD from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. She's a certified soul realignment practitioner. Dr. Kelly offers Akashic Records or readings to help individuals finding their soul gifts to address blocks to reaching their highest potential. And lastly, again from India, Sanskrit T. Sethi. She is a renowned psychic and Akashic Records reader. Sanskitsky educates and motivates individuals to live self-empowered lives throughout spiritual practices. Now, this, of course, we're looking at it not from the true believer, but also the skeptic part of it. Again, Kimber has also stressed the fact that her Akashic reading was, she was a descendant of blue aliens that were into experiencing what being a human would like to be. Now, whether you believe in the Akashic records or not, it is kind of a thought on exploring what makes you you, as opposed to what makes you understand who you are. Thoughts, Kim, as I bring this to your table?
It is a lot more interesting than what I thought. Like I said, after that experience, when I would hear people talk about how they were into reading the Akashic records, I was like, okay, whatever floats your boat. But the more I find out,
ET Mumbo Jumbo.
but the more I find out about this, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the journey I've been on my whole entire life without even realizing it. I mean, for those who know me, know my obsession. Well, my love of the paranormal almost leads to an obsession. I just want to experience it. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to, and I know you, being somebody who's experienced, you're like, no, but I do. And the more I find out about this, it aligns with that. It aligns with that path and that journey that I've been wanting to take throughout my life. And so now I'm like fascinated by this.
All right.
Yeah.
As we draw to a close, we ask you, our loyal, helpful fans, what do you think of the Akashic Records? Is it just some new age philosophical mumbo jumbo type situation? Is it a physical library off on a far off star that we only reach by astral planing? Or is it just the experience of being human and wanting to access your own thoughts, emotions, and brains, trying to figure out exactly where you stand in this great big universe as you look upon the stars at night and realize to yourself, am I the only one that feels the way I do? Discuss.
Yes, let us know in the comments what you believe. If you believe this is all mumbo jumbo, or if you think there is some truth to it. Also, we're still trying to hit that 100 mark, that 100 milestone on subscribers. Please like and subscribe. Click the notification. I know we've been kind of lacking in the past, but we're getting better. Our goal is to post new videos every Thursday. And so, yeah. Be on the lookout for our next episode. And other than that, sweet dreams, everybody.
And pleasant nightmares. And hey, if you kind of get your library card for the Akashic Records Library, make sure you tip your librarian nicely, and we'll see you there.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.